Welcome to another episode of the Left of Lansing podcast with Pat Johnston. A progressive insight into Michigan's political and cultural world. And of course, an entertaining podcast designed to shine a light on how to make Michigan's political machine work for the people. Now, from the Left of Lansing headquarters, located in his attic, here's the award-winning Pat Johnston.
Oh, yeah! Welcome to another episode of Michigan's premier progressive podcast. I am Pat Johnston, and I have to ask, was last week the best week of football history here for the state of Michigan? I think it was. All right, Michigan State fans might not completely agree, but maybe they'll go halfway on that, because not only did the Michigan Wolverines bring home their first unshared national championship title since 1948, but then the Detroit Lions triumphantly exorcised their demons by winning their first playoff game in 32 years this past Sunday against Matthew Stafford and the LA Rams. And it was quite the atmosphere at Ford Field, one that will be remembered for a long time. Well, at least until this coming Sunday evening, when they host the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for the right to play in the conference championship. How many fans out there thought it was possible for the Lions to have a shot to play for the Final Four this season? No, this podcaster did not. Although I did predict that they'd win last week by a 38-30 score. While it was a little more low scoring than I predicted, and a lot closer too, with the Lions prevailing by just a point, I'll still consider my prediction to be a win. Stay tuned for yet another Lions prediction at the end of this episode. Coming up next week, I will welcome back Susan Demas, editor-in-chief of the nonprofit Michigan political news site called Michigan Advanced. As you've listened here to some of my previous episodes, you know how much I enjoy reading the outstanding reporting from Michigan Advanced, as I cite them many, many times throughout each and every episode. And Susan Demas is someone that I've been reading for years, back when she was writing for MLive. During those George W. Bush and Barack Obama years when strong progressive voices weren't readily available, hers was really one of the few that I could find out there here in the state of Michigan. And I cannot wait to get her thoughts on the sinking ship that is the Michigan Republican Party, how Trumpism took over the party, how she views the job that Michigan Democrats are doing since they took over the state legislature, and her viewpoints on this upcoming presidential election. I also want to ask Susan about how she views the media coverage of Donald Trump and the Republican Party compared to the coverage that Joe Biden and the Democratic Party receive, and where she thinks the media is succeeding and failing as well. And I also want to ask how a nonprofit site like Michigan Advance is able to compete with more traditional media outlets and the role that social media is playing for both good and bad. So I'm looking forward to that. And while Susan and I, you know, do agree on a host of issues, there are a couple of issues where we have some differing viewpoints, and I want to cover those issues as well. So Susan Demas joins me next week here on Left of Lansing. This week, I'd like to start out by highlighting a story that one of Susan's colleagues from Michigan Advance wrote a week ago. It's a story by reporter and friend of this podcast, John King, and the story is titled, Report, Wealthy Michiganders Pay Lower Taxes Than Everyone Else, Including Those Earning the Least. Now, this story isn't exactly all that surprising, but it's something that needs to be known to as many people as possible, because I feel like corporate media have done an exceptional job pushing and pushing and pushing the narrative that it's the rich paying all the taxes while everyone else is just sitting on a beach, I guess, doing nothing. You remember when Mitt Romney told a bunch of rich Republican donors during his campaign against President Obama how 47% don't pay taxes in this country? Here, I've got this NPR story from 2012, which quotes Romney saying, there are 47% of people who will vote for the president no matter what because they are dependent upon government. They believe they are victims. They believe the government has a responsibility to care for them. These are people who pay no income tax. Now, you remember when that went viral and ended up hurting Romney, right? Now, Romney wasn't wrong when he said that 47% of people here in this country don't have an income tax. However, as NPR noted, the Nonpartisan Tax Policy Center and others have many times pointed out that a little less than half of Americans pay no federal income taxes. But as TPC also notes, many of those who don't pay income tax do pay other taxes, federal payroll and excise taxes, as well as state and local income sales and property taxes. And why do so many not pay income taxes? According to TPC, about half of people who don't owe income tax are off the rolls, not because they take advantage of tax breaks, but rather because they have low incomes. Of the rest in that group, 75% pay no income tax because of provisions that benefit senior citizens and low-income working families with children. So you see, Mitt Romney was attacking those who don't have rich lobbyists in their back pockets at the ready to pressure and bribe politicians. Romney got attacked, and rightfully so, because of the pure disdain he and his rich elite friends harbor for hardworking, everyday Americans who weren't born on third base, like Mitt. Although, you know, you have to give it to Mitt that he at least escaped his bourgeoisie lifestyle just enough to appreciate how Michigan's trees were just the right height. I remember him saying that, and it still baffles me that trees, he liked the trees that were just the right height. It baffles me still to this day because I don't know which trees aren't the right height. But what did you expect from the same guy who wrote how the government should have let the auto companies go bankrupt? I mean, that would have meant Michigan would have gone bankrupt at that time. Notice that he didn't say the same things when it came to his bankster buddies who caused the financial crisis of 2008. But what we did learn from that leaked tape of Romney complaining about the 47% of Americans who don't pay income taxes is just how rich Americans view average Americans and why the rich work so hard putting Republicans in power to help them not only redistribute that wealth back up to them, but they also enjoy, they really enjoy, they get off on punishing working Americans by gutting their Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, public education, and by raising the retirement age, because that is what many want to do. Which brings me back to John King's story here in Michigan Advance. If you don't mind, I'm going to read the first few paragraphs just to give you an idea of what most Americans don't realize. So here is John King's story. The top 1% of income earners in Michigan are paying a lower overall share of taxes than the bottom 99%. That's according to a new national study published by the nonprofit, nonpartisan Institute on Taxation and Economic Policy, otherwise known as ITEP, which examined the tax structures of all 50 states and the District of Columbia. The report titled Who Pays ranked Michigan as the 34th most regressive in the nation when it comes to taxes, describing it as a hybrid system that is progressive through the bottom part of the income distribution and regressive through the top part. In its breakdown of the state, ITEP determined that the top 1%, or those earning $670,300 a year, pay an average effective state and local tax rate of 5.7%, while the lowest 20%, or those earning around $21,000 or less, pay 7.1%. So those earning around $21,000 or less pay a higher average effective tax rate and local tax rate than those making over $670,000 here in Michigan. Okay, now back to the story. It says Michigan's tax code is near the middle of the pack compared to other states, but that's not especially encouraging given that the typical state tax code is very regressive, Carl Davis, ITEP's research director, told Michigan Advance. He said, higher income people in Michigan are paying far lower tax rates than any other group. Your typical middle income earner in Michigan pays about 70% more as a share of income than folks at the very top. And here's what I think is the line to the entire story. According to the report, those middle income earners making up 40% of the total and bringing in between $43,000 and $135,000 a year are paying a 9.7% tax rate. So you see, hardworking Michiganders are paying a near 10% tax rate, while the rich are paying around a 5% tax rate. And you wonder if Betsy DeVos and her well-to-do friends benefited from Michigan Republican Governor Rick Snyder and his Republican majority during his entire second term? Boy, you really wonder, right? Oh, and that Carl Davis from the Institute on Taxation and Economic Policy told John King that since Michigan doesn't have higher taxes on higher earners like other states, average Michiganders suffer. Davis says Michigan's low flat rate income tax just doesn't do that. It can't balance out the regressive impact of all the other taxes that Michiganders are paying on the things that they buy and the homes that they live in. And John King also spoke with Rachel Richards of the Michigan League for Public Policy, and Ms. Richards agrees that Michigan's flat rate income tax benefits the rich more than anything. And she says in that story, flat rate taxes do tend to benefit high income earners in the long run. In previous legislative cycles, we've seen bills that have moved through the legislature that have posed rate cuts to our income tax rates going from 4.2% to 4%. When we've modeled those changes, we see how higher income Michiganders get kind of outsized benefits from those tax rate cuts. So it provides very little, if any, benefit to cut a flat income tax rate for low to moderate income families, but provides these outsized benefits for high income earners. I will post a link to John King's story to this episode of Left of Lansing on leftoflansing.com. And again, this isn't a shock to those of us who have been following how business is done here in Michigan, but it's something that's not really covered all that much, which is why you'll find many of that 47% that Mitt Romney ridiculed, you'll find many in that percentage vote against their interest and vote for people who will hurt them at the expense of the rich and the connected. And as Susan Demas of Michigan Advance wrote in a column last week titled, "The GOP Bet Big on Tax Cuts for the Rich, They Got Historic Labor Victories Instead," Susan reminds us of how the 2018 Michigan Republican gubernatorial candidate and bad actress Tudor Dixon decided to go even more extreme with her tax policies. Susan writes that Dixon decided to go even further, announcing a plan to phase out the personal income tax until it's eliminated, modeling states like Texas. That would be a windfall for billionaires like, say, the DeVos family, who backed the actress turned right-wing commentator during a crowded GOP primary. Susan continues writing, "The income tax is one of the main ways the state keeps the lights on. So axing $14.5 billion from Michigan's $82 billion budget would probably mean deep cuts people would feel, like school and state parks shutting down and fewer police on patrol. For Republicans, this is a win-win. First, you get a flat tax cut, then you cut government to the bone." And I will also provide a link to that column as well by Susan Demas, which is why this quote by JP Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon revealed everything that I've been saying here for years, that corporate America is just fine and dandy with Trump being president again, just as long as they benefit while hurting the rest of us. Here's Jamie Dimon on CNBC while at the World Economic Forum in Davos, where the rich and elite get to pal around with nice drinks and some Grey Poupon. And here he is warning Democrats to take it easy on Trump voters. Just please take it easy on Trump voters. Listen.
And I just also want to point out, I wish the Democrats would think a little more carefully when they talk about MAGA, you know, and if you travel this country, you know, and the country's unbelievable. We took our bus trip this year and Leslie Picker was on Spokane and Boise and Bozeman. People are growing. They're hungry to grow. They're innovating. It's everywhere. It's not just Silicon Valley. So we've got this great hand. But when people say MAGA, they're actually looking at people voting for Trump, and they think they're voting, and they're basically scapegoating them, that you are like him. But I don't think they're voting for Trump because of his family values. Now, if you look, just take a step back, be honest. He was kind of right about NATO, kind of right about immigration. Mm-hmm. He grew the economy quite well.
China virus.
Tax reform worked. Mm-hmm. He was right about some of China. I don't like what he did.
No, I said China virus.
Yeah, I understand. He may have been right. And I don't like how he said things about Mexico. I don't like, but he wasn't wrong about some of these critical issues. And that's why they're voting for him. And I think people should be a little more respectful of our fellow citizens. And when you guys have people up here, you should always ask the why. Not like it's a binary thing. You're supporting Trump, you're not supporting Trump. Why are you supporting Trump?
It's hard to
Trump?
Hate 75 million of your fellow Americans.
I agree. Democrats have done a pretty good job with the deplorables, hugging onto their Bibles and their beer and their guns. I mean, really? Like, can we just stop that stuff and actually grow up and treat other people with respect and listen to them a little bit?
Jamie Dimon and his billionaire bankster buddies begged for the American people to bail out their asses after they helped cause the 2008 financial crisis. They needed us. They needed us back then. But now they need Donald Trump. Why? Because they believe Trump is on their side. They believe that he'll give them more tax cuts and more power while gutting the safety net programs for the rest of us. Ooh, they can't wait. They're like Mr. Burns from The Simpsons. They can't wait. A little pain for everybody else. Excellent, excellent. Diamond and his buddies are fine with a little fascism, just as long as Trump gives them more corporate tax breaks. And Jamie, it's funny how I was told that lowering your precious corporate tax rate, which Trump and the Republicans did, would help lead to lower prices for the rest of us. Oops, wrong again, Jamie. Or what's it matter about being wrong for Jamie? It doesn't. He still sleeps at night. Jamie's friends took advantage of the greedflation that corporations levied on the American people, knowing that we needed certain products after things opened back up from the COVID shutdown, so it didn't really matter to them. They're making more money no matter what, and they got their taxes cut thanks to Donald Trump. And how'd that help you? How'd that help me? But this is what you expect to happen when Diamond and his friends are allowed to monopolize so many industries out there, including the food industry. Less competition equals bigger profits for corporate CEOs. Isn't that right, Jamie? That's why they want Trump in there. He's good for their business. He's good for them. And you know why Jamie Dimon and Betsy DeVos are all about getting Trump back in the White House, despite the fact that 81% of his voters believe in Trump's racist line that immigrants poison the blood of this country? Or why they have no problem that his people attempted a violent coup on January 6th? All right, well, it's selfish reasons, of course, not just because of tax cuts, but because the IRS is going after tax cheats thanks to the Democrats and President Joe Biden. MarketWatch reports IRS officials said that they've pulled in a further $360 million from millionaire households with at least $250,000 in tax debts. That follows an October IRS announcement that $160 million in delinquent taxes have been raked back from wealthy households. That's $520 million altogether and a strong initial return on investment for a multi-billion dollar funding influx, according to IRS Commissioner Danny Werfel. Please remember, everybody, please remember, the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022 authorized $80 billion to the IRS over a decade. Democrats passed the IRA without any Republican help because Republicans didn't want to vote for something like that. They need to protect their big money benefactors. And please remember, everyone, please remember that Republicans cut $20 billion from the IRS budget as part of that debt ceiling negotiation last year. So Republicans are fighting really, really hard to protect their rich friends from paying money that they were required to pay but withheld from the government. That's your party of law and order. Republicans aren't for you. They are for rich people like Donald Trump, Jamie Dimon, the late child predator Jeffrey Epstein, and corporations, just as long as those corporations don't practice diversity, equity, and inclusion programs. Oh, my God. By the way, DEI is now suddenly the new monster for the right wing. It doesn't matter what happens in the world. You blame it on DEI. It snowed today. DEI. The cheese is now moldy in my fridge. DEI. Everything is now DEI. That is to blame for all of this nation's ills. It's always something for Republicans. But for the most part, they are all about gutting the middle class and for gutting unions, which helped build a robust middle class, which is why you didn't see any Republicans on the picket lines when UAW was striking back last fall. You didn't see any of them show up. Just something to remember when Trump and the entire Michigan Republican Party, well, I mean, there are two now. Maybe there will be three by November. I don't know. Just remember, though, when they try to sell you on the notion that they are for you. You're listening to LOL.
It's the Left of Lansing podcast with Pat Johnston. Need to give Pat a piece of your mind? Or do you have some stories you think Pat should cover? Email him at leftoflansing@gmail.com. And if you have Michigan beer ideas for Pat, he'll love you even more. Now, here's Pat.
You know, everything I just talked about all comes down to messaging. I know I might be beating a dead horse here, and maybe it's because of my time as a progressive working in corporate right-wing talk radio world, but Democrats have never really been the best at messaging. I mean, I just shared evidence on how years of a right-wing trickle-down economics, along with a right-wing ideology with its desire to damage workers by destroying unions, for instance, has destroyed the entire middle class for the benefit of the rich elites in this country. JP Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon is there complaining about how progressives like me and Democrats in general are being really hard and harsh on pro-fascist MAGA types because, well, I guess he identifies with them? I don't know. I mean, he and his friends bankrolled the very politicians who worked hard to destroy the working class. But he wants we progressives to be nice to those who've chosen to call our side groomers and communists. And Jamie Dimon says that Donald Trump got a lot of things right. Jamie Dimon and his elite friends just tossed a slow pitch to Joe Biden and the Democrats, and they should be launching that pitch over the center field wall with ease. But the next question is, will they? And that leads to my left of Lansing last call here for this week. Now, last week, I lamented about President Biden's low polling numbers here in Michigan, and I asked if I was overreacting to poll after poll after poll showing how much Biden is struggling here in Michigan and how he's losing to Trump. Now, I received some email responses to my question, and thank you to all of you, but I'd like to read this one from Aaron, since Aaron wrote a pretty well-done and thorough response to my worries. So here is Aaron's response. Hey, Pat. Appreciate the pod and you bringing up the topic that surrounds polls and if they're worth discussing as significant. I spent a decent amount of time on left-of-center chat and message board platforms. Yes, I'm a lifelong Dem voter. And I can tell you it's always the same three talking points that almost always gets brought up anytime a poll is presented, especially if it's not favorable to a Democrat. I'm not saying that they don't have any truth to them, but here are those three things. One, the polls don't matter because they're not accurate. Or two, it's the media's fault that Biden isn't polling well. Or three, the DNC and the Democrats are poor at messaging. My thoughts, Aaron says, the real thing I get out of polls that show Biden's approval in the tank or polls similar to that or Trump beating him in key states is this. People don't realize just how little people in this country actually pay attention to any kind of news or politics, and that includes all sorts of types of voters. I think that's what those polls like the one that you read off on the pod last week confirmed to me and what the dialogue should be all about. Now, let me just quickly interrupt Aaron's email here by saying yes, not everyone is constantly reading all the news or following politics like we do, and we have to remember that point, all right? We do. It's just a simple fact. Now, back to Aaron's email. Yes, there's something to be said about our flawed, overly corporate media ecosystem. Yes, there especially is something to be said about the toxicity of right-wing media. And yes, some people work multiple jobs and have families to raise, etc. But that is not mutually exclusive to the point that the data shows, and anecdotally, that a lot more people than you think in this country know what is going on, or even know that Trump is the likely nominee of the GOP, for example. I'm speaking, of course, to other lefties that hyper-focus on the three points I mentioned above, but not the last one here. Now, Aaron is talking about the poor messaging from Democrats, traditionally speaking, and he continues here. And so, point being, I wish Democratic voters would better counter 24/7 right-wing media narratives with aggressive messaging of our own, but with actual truth, of course, by doing things like simply sharing, liking, retweeting, etc., positive articles and whatnot about the Biden administration, and have more people like your podcast or Pod Save America out there. And let me say that I do think that the folks at Pod Save America do a fine job. Here in Michigan, I'd like to give a quick shout out to former Michigan DNC chair Mark Brewer and former state Republican chair Jeff Timmer, who have a podcast called A Republic If You Can Keep It. They do a pretty good job at covering what's happening here in Michigan just as well. But Aaron is speaking to the choir here. And Aaron, preach on, my friend. Progressives have a really good message. And Michigan Democrats have set an example of how to push some good policies and to make those policies into law. like ending right to work for less so that unions now have some power again, like adding civil rights protections for the LGBTQ plus community, like repealing the retirement tax, like expanding the state earned income tax to help working families, like expanding abortion care rights for all women, like reinvesting in our public schools and providing free meals to all students, like doing what progressive state representative Betsy Cafia achieved when she got a more fair school transportation fund that'll benefit rural school districts and their students in northern Michigan. I mean, these are real solutions helping all Michiganders. Like Representative Cafia said, progressive Democrats are trying to lift all boats. I mean, this is how Democrats can show how they are helping people. I'm sorry, but I just don't think it's enough to say the other side sucks. I mean, it's true. Michigan Republicans, like the entire Republican Party, are choosing a guy who brags about his desires to be a dictator and a guy who's been found liable of rape to be their best choice for president. And yes, Democrats must attack Republicans for adopting a repressive, repulsive, and revolting platform designed only to play on some of people's worst fears. But Democrats must also show just how they're not Republicans, but also illustrate how and why they're much better than Republicans. If we hope Democrats keep the state legislature blue, they must show how their bills are helping people. For example, we just received the latest numbers from the Consensus Revenue Estimating Conference here in the state, and it showed that we're still bringing in a surplus. You see, Democrats can say that evidence right there shows that their policies are working. And that's where I frankly believe that the Biden administration is slipping a bit. They should heed Michigan Democratic State Representative Lori Pohutsky's exhortations on how Democrats don't really do the best job at bragging about their victories. The Biden administration has victories to celebrate, which is why the economy is humming along at such an unbelievable pace. I mean, really, think about it. It's impossible for Trump and Republicans to argue that things were better in 2020 than they are now. Really? Are they really? I mean, they're going to try, of course. They hope that their gullible base will buy it. But we know the facts. We know that's not the case. We know objectively that is not the case. So messaging is key. And like Aaron said in his email, it's not just up to Biden or Whitmer or Democrats or just me. It's up to all of us. I've decided to post a little weekly poll on Twitter. That's at Left of Lansing. Here's the question for the week. Polls show President Biden's losing to Donald Trump in Michigan. How do you view these numbers less than 10 months from Election Day? And your choices are, no worries, Biden still wins Michigan, you're concerned, or Biden should step aside. I'll keep that poll posted until Monday around midnight, and I'll report on the final results during next week's podcast. So vote on the poll now on Twitter. That's at Left of Lansing. And thank you, Aaron, for your thoughtful email. And most of all, thank you for listening. Again, if you'd like to contact me, all you have to do is email me. That's leftoflansing@gmail.com.
You're listening to the Left of Lansing podcast. The music you're hearing is by Wander Beats. To hear the latest project, check out Space Leopard on your favorite streaming site. Now back to our favorite progressive voice in Michigan. It's Pat Johnston.
Well, that's going to do it for this edition of The Left of Lansing. As promised, here is my bold prediction for this weekend's Detroit Lions, Tampa Bay Buccaneers divisional playoff contest at Ford Field this Sunday. Now, the Lions beat Tampa in Tampa already this year, and you have to remember the Lions were dealing with a bunch of injuries during that game. So I feel like that this Lions team is not just the better of the two teams, but I know they'll be riding the high emotions provided by their loyal and rabid fan base there in Ford Field. So I will say the Lions win by a score of 28-21 and move on to the NFC Championship game. Wow, that's just hard to believe, isn't it? But please, please, no hate mail if they lose. I'm not to blame, all right? Hey, I got last week right, so if they lose this week, it's not all my fault. Coming up next week, I'll speak with Michigan Advance's Susan Demas, so I hope you'll listen to that episode. Actually, I hope you listen to all of my episodes and my Left of Lansing Friday shorts wherever you get your pods. And please don't forget to give LOL a fantastic 5-star review too. You can give it a 4-star, that's fine, just as long as you give it a decent review. And Rich, thank you again for your hard work on leftoflansing.com. Until next week, remember, take the battle to them. Thank you, Michigan!
The Left of Lansing podcast was produced by Pat Johnston. Written by Pat Johnston. Researched by Pat Johnston. Edited by Pat Johnston. And hosted by, yes, Pat Johnston. Technical assistance by Dr. Heather. And thanks to our good friend Kirsten for the awesome podcast logo. Remember to visit leftoflansing.com for more news and information. Thanks again for listening to the Left of Lansing podcast.